He knows. John 11, 1 to 45 is our text today. This is the fifth Sunday in Lent. It's the last Sunday that we have in Lent before we get to Palm Sunday. And as we're going through Lent, we remember Jesus' sufferings for us. We also remember and recognize His care for our sufferings and His presence there in the midst of suffering for us. Earlier in the previous few weeks here, we encountered a few conversations that Jesus had with some individuals. One was with a man named Nicodemus, inquiring into what Jesus was about, a skeptical religious leader, we might say, or a seeking religious leader. We then had the woman at the well, an outcast, really hesitant, but when she heard something good, she was a willing seeker and learner. Last week, we heard about a miracle, healing about a man who was born blind, healing from blindness. And we thought about the confrontation that Jesus had with spiritual blindness, the leaders who were spiritually blind. And today we have another miracle, really, I guess you could say the biggest miracle. And we move, as we did last week, we move closer toward the final confrontation that Jesus has with the religious leaders that really take him to that place of suffering in our place. And he's moving closer and closer to that. So our text today is a little bit of a long one. I am in a moment going to ask you to stand, but I want to mention it is a little bit longer. So if you feel like you want to stay seated, normally maybe you would stand, but if you want to stay seated, that's fine. Or if we're partway through and you're like, I got to sit down, that's fine too. So I'm going to ask you to stand as I read from John 11, 1 to 45. John 11, 1 to 45, reading in Jesus' name. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, Let us go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, "the sister of the dead man," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed in him. Father, thank you for this word to us and this account of Jesus giving life to someone who was dead. As we consider what this message has for us today, I ask that you would guide us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, and I want to invite any of the kids that want to come up to the front. Come on up. We got a few more. Anybody else coming up? All right. Come on. There you go. Yeah. All right. Hey, guys. Has any of you been ever planted a tree or a flower or something like that? Have you ever done that? Have you done that?
Yeah.
Corn. Yeah, you guys have corn every year, don't you? That's kind of fun. I like seeing that. Yeah. You get plant corn. Is it fun to see it come up? To come up growing, and you get to see that. Sometimes it's slow, and maybe it's a little bit boring, right? Well, and sometimes something happens to a plant, right? I noticed a few years ago, next to our strawberry plants, that there were some little trees coming up, and I looked at them. They were really little, and I looked at them, and I said, those look like maple leaves. And we don't have maple trees right in our yard, but there must be somewhere around that they came from. And they started growing up. And I thought, oh, wouldn't that be interesting to see if I can let these trees grow and then transplant them someplace and grow a tree someplace where we might like a maple tree. So I let them go. And they were growing up right next to the raspberries. And then it was wintertime. And the next spring, I went to look for them. And you know what had happened? You know what we have in our yard? What kind of animals we have in our yard? Some little ones that hop around. You guys maybe have some of them.
Squirrels.
We have some squirrels. We also have
rabbits.
Yeah. They came and bit them all the way down to the ground. They were chewed up. And I thought, well, let's see what happens. And they started growing back again. And I said, well, let's see how they go. And they grew again through the summer. And then it was winter again. And what happened? Guess what happened the next winter? Yeah, they chewed them all down again, and they came back again. And it was fun to see those come back. And you know what? I actually transplanted two to different spots in our yard, and one of them is right out on the corner here. As you come around the corner, one of them is right out there, and it's growing pretty well, except now it's the deer that eat it. That's why it has that fence that's tall around, and they keep eating it. Well, those plants were not all the way dead, were they? They still had roots. They still could grow back. But can God give life even to things that are all the way dead? He can, can't he? Yep. And in our story today, we heard about Lazarus coming back to life. We know also that he gives life inside of us. And in the end, he will give us eternal life. And we will come back to life. If we're trusting in him, we will be in heaven with him. What a great promise that is, isn't it? All right, I don't know, this isn't quite a picture of Lazarus coming out because he doesn't have the things wrapped around him anymore, but it'll work. He's coming out of the tomb there maybe. So let's see. Who would like to hand a few of these out? Would you like, here, you want to do those? Hand those out? Would you like to hand a few out? Here we go. Here you go. All right. Thanks for coming up, guys. You can go back to your seats now. There we go. Thank you. All right. Well, we begin this text today finding out that a good friend of Jesus named Lazarus is sick. And John points out the identity of who this Lazarus is. Mary and Martha that we've met before, and Mary also is the one who poured perfume later on, poured perfume on Jesus' feet. They sent word and said, the one you love is sick. And it's interesting, the relationship, as we think about what's happening in this text today with Lazarus and realizing that it tells us a lot about us and about how God interacts with us. And we find, is this a unique individual that Jesus loved in a particular way as a friend? Well, in a way, yes. In his earthly life, it was. And yet, as we think about this description of the one who was sick, we can think of that as a description of us as well. As we go through different things in life, different trials, different sicknesses, and whatever may come our way, it would be appropriate for us to pray and send a message to Jesus in a way that says, the one you love is sick. As we come across this story of this relationship, these friends that Jesus has then, we notice that, first of all, that these people are known by Jesus. He knows. He knows them. He knows them well. He also knows what's happening to them. He knows the condition that Lazarus is in. He knows what's coming up for Lazarus, also for himself. And as he does that, as he knows this, and as he knows what's going on in our lives, in this particular case, he says, this sickness will not end in death. There is a death in there, but it doesn't end in death as the end of this story, right? Of this sickness in Lazarus' life. He says, it's for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified. Jesus knows. Jesus knows what's going on, and as we think about our own lives and whatever is in it, he knows. And whatever may come of the troubles that are in our life, we can say as well that the things that happen to us are for God's glory, whatever the outcome may be. He knows. Jesus loved this family, Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And then it says, because of that, maybe, the wording seems that way, he stayed 2 more days. That's interesting. He knows, and he stays 2 more days. Contrast that with our response, and maybe the response that we would like to hear from God as we send a message to him in our prayers. We might say, if someone is sick, we need to do something right away. Something needs to happen right away. Why would Jesus know what's going on here and delay? If we know of something that's happening, we would hurry up. We would say, it's time to go. Let's get going. Let's get moving. This needs to happen now. Whatever those things may be in life. And sometimes things happen right now, and sometimes there's a delay and there's a wait. And we might wonder, what is God doing? What is God doing waiting? Waiting a long time. Maybe even allowing death, and the wait is for the resurrection at the end of time. Maybe even that. And yet, this can be reassuring through anything that happens in our life. He knows. He knows what is good for us. Jesus knows what's happening. So after 2 days, he says, let's go back to Judea. Now, the objection from the disciples is there. It wasn't that long ago that they tried to kill you. They tried to stone you there. Are you really going to go back there? Maybe they thought the delay in going back was because Jesus said, maybe it's better that we not go right now. Lazarus, they'll help him out. He'll recover. Maybe that's what they were thinking here. But it turns out that wasn't the reason for the delay. And now Jesus says, let's go back. And they say, this is too dangerous. What's going to happen? They don't know. They don't know what's going to happen. Jesus knows. And not only that everything is going to turn out well for Lazarus, but also that things are going to turn out poorly for him. He knows that. He knows what is coming up. He also knows that he is in control of what's happening. He knows that. We have a similar statement as we did last week as he talks about the daytime, the time for work. Later on, it is night where work cannot be done. And he also talks here about the daytime where you don't stumble because you see by the light of the world. At nighttime is the time when people stumble. And he is the light of the world. And he says, in a way, he's saying, it's daytime. I'm here. I'm the light of the world. Things are not going to surprise me. I will be able to see and do the work that my Father has called me to do. So the theme is similar, though different, than what we saw last week. But he says he's going to do the work that he's going to do while he's on earth. Jesus knows. He knows what's happening. He knows what's coming up. So he explains to his followers, this is what's happening. This is what's going to happen. But he does it with a little bit of an image first. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I'm going to wake him up. Well, that seems like a little strange, doesn't it? How long a journey? Is he going to be sleeping for a few days as they travel there, and finally at the end of a few days he's going to wake him up as if nobody else around him could do that? You know, I'm going to wake him up. Or, you know, while is he still sleeping? Or what is this sleeping about? There's an objection to this. Many objections. They don't know really what's going on. And they say, well, if he sleeps, he's going to get better. This all sounded strange to them, right? A little bit of what's going on here. Why would he go to wake him up? That doesn't sound exactly right. He'll get better. And we find again that Jesus knows, even though they don't know and we don't know, Jesus knows. He knows that Lazarus is dead. And then he tells them. He just tells them plainly. He's been using this image, but he says, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe. As we think about the things that come into our lives, some of the prayers that we have are answered the way that we would like them to be answered, and many of them are not. And it's good to remember that the reason that God does things in the way that he does them in this world is so that we may believe, that we may trust him. And that looks different at different times and in different ways and depending on what those things are that are happening in our life. But he says, all right, he's dead. I did this. This is okay so that you may believe, but let's now go to him. As you think about this, maybe you've watched The Chosen. We recently watched the episode where this happens, and I really enjoy watching that. There are some of the things in that series that are very, very good that I think represent very well what's going on. There are other ones where I think, wait a second, where are you getting that angle here and creating that backstory? But it was an interesting thing that's not stated in the text here, but it makes me wonder in that when Jesus says that he's just sleeping, James and John, if you remember, and Peter saw Jesus, heard Jesus talk about the little girl only sleeping, and yet she was actually dead, and he brought her back to life, and he said, keep quiet about this right now. And in that episode, James says, sleeping, like that little girl? And the other's like, shh, we're not supposed to talk about that yet, right? But it's an interesting thought, right? Was that running through their mind? Thomas says, let's go. We might die with him. You know, is it with Jesus that they're thinking? Jesus might get killed. We might die with him. Or, you know, Lazarus is dead. We might as well go and die too. Well, I don't know exactly where his focus was there. But arriving on this scene, they arrive at a scene of mourning. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. And it could be that as Jesus was saying, Lazarus has died, then it took them 4 days to travel. We don't know what the time frame here was, but they're near Jerusalem. There were many that came out from Jerusalem to mourn with Mary and Martha. They came out to comfort them. Mary heard that Jesus was coming. Martha heard that Jesus was coming and went out. Mary stayed back. And This is the greeting that Martha gives to Jesus, is the greeting of someone who knows something about who Jesus is, but not totally. She has an inclination, and I think we can see ourselves in that as well, right? It's easy for us to know some of what God can do and what his plans are, but not know everything. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. There's some hope there. Even beyond hope. Well, one person for sure had been risen by Jesus. There was a dead man as they were carrying him out of the village for burial. And, it was kind of the funeral procession. That would have been the same day that he died. And Jesus had brought him back to life. So they knew about that. And maybe they knew. Maybe not everybody knew about that. But that wasn't after 4 days. But maybe it can happen. But Jesus knows. Your brother will rise again. Jesus knows what he's going to do. Martha says, I know he'll rise in the resurrection. You know, that's a good thought. It's a good thought on her part. He will rise in the resurrection. But we need a. Jesus says there's actually even more to the final resurrection than you know. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Martha believes that her brother will rise in the resurrection, and Jesus says, the one who will make that final resurrection happen is standing right here. I'm the one who will do that, and I'm right here. She needs to know, Martha needs to know something more. She can learn something more. Jesus knows. Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. So Martha goes and calls Mary. The teacher's here. He's asking for you. Come out. Mary comes out, and the others quickly get up and follow her, thinking she's going to the tomb. They must not have heard the message that Jesus is there. So Mary comes out there, and there's the same kind of thought as Martha had. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. They're learning. They know him somewhat. When Jesus saw her and the others with her, he was deeply moved and troubled. Jesus knows what he will do. But he also knows what's happening and what they are going through. So even though he knows what the final result will be, he also knows what they are in the midst of. And I think that's great for us as well to know. Yes, we can look forward to the resurrection. Yes, we can look forward to maybe God does do healing in this life. Maybe he restores relationships in this life. But when we're in the midst of that, it's good to know that Jesus knows not just what he's going to do at the end of all that, but he knows what we are going through. And Jesus is not left without feeling an emotion connected to us. He asks, where have you laid him? Come and see is the response. And you probably remember, maybe, this is the shortest verse in the Bible. You probably memorized it when you had a Bible memory challenge. Hey, I'll do the short one. Jesus wept, right? John 11:35. That's easy. Easy to say. Jesus wept. Why here? Why right now? You know, we don't know exactly why here, why right now. But we know that Jesus knows what suffering is. He knows the agony of death and loss. Even with resurrection, he knows that the pain is there. He knows the pain. He knows his pain as he took our pain on himself. And we see the response from others. See how he loved him. But also, couldn't he have also kept him from dying? We might come across that as well ourselves, the question. Well, he loves us. Couldn't he have done this? Jesus knows, though, what is best for us. Deeply moved again, he comes to the tomb. There's a stone across the entrance. Jesus knows what's going on here, and so he says, take away the stone. And there's still an objection from Martha. By this time, there's a bad odor. He's been in there for 4 days. But Jesus still knows. Jesus knows. And so they remove the stone. And he says a prayer which is really for the benefit of those around him. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. In the end, you know, Lazarus is going to die again after this, right? This is not the final resurrection for him. He will die again. The blessing in this is for him, in the and his, for his relatives, maybe more so, his sisters in the present time, but telling us again who Jesus is so that we can believe in him. And here is the time of action for Jesus. He calls out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Do we find any strain or difficulty in what Jesus is doing here? Do we find that something else needs to happen for Lazarus to come out? Well, Jesus calls his name, Lazarus, come out. And the very voice that is calling him out is the one that is giving him the ability to get up and come out, that gives life to him. The same voice that called the universe into existence, that called life into existence in the first place, is now giving life back to this individual. Jesus knows and Jesus works, and there is no challenge to his power. There is no struggle on his part to give life to this dead man. The simple statement, come out, gives him the ability to do it. The dead man came out. Kind of interesting he says that. Well, he's not dead anymore, is he? Right? The dead man came out. No, the guy who was dead now came out. Get him out of those burial clothes. And many of those that were around believed in him. And if we continue reading, we find that there were also those that were religious leaders that saw what happened and said, we really need to get rid of this guy. Their hearts were being hardened by what was happening. And the stage was set. Jesus was moving on to his crucifixion and his death for us. But as we complete this account of what happened to Lazarus, we can be reminded and given hope that in our lives, when trials come, when things come our way that are unexpected, that are painful and maybe suffering, whether it's physical or emotional or whatever it may be, we can acknowledge and recognize that Jesus knows. They may have had to send word whatever number of days travel away it was to find Jesus. It does not take that long for our message to get to him. We say it, he hears it, and he knows it already. When we struggle to know what's going on, he knows. And he knew in this case what he would do. He knows what he will do for you. He knows what he will do for us when we trust in him. He knows. And may we be reassured by that fact that he knows. And may we know also that he knows and that he loves us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this account of Lazarus. We thank you in that time, the way that you gave life to him and restored him to his family and gave them so much joy in that time. We thank you that there are many ways where we see joy being restored to us as well in this life. We also know that there are many times where whatever your plan is, that we don't feel that joy now, that we feel pain and sadness as we do in this world. And yet we are reassured by the fact that in all of it, you know what we are going through. You know what we need, and we can trust you in that. And I ask that you would help us to do just that. We would trust you for everything. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.